We'll start with page 3, the works of the Father. Normally, the Lord teaches or shares his heart precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, line upon line. I questioned when he began to deal with this about with me, and he was saying that this was what he considered the starting point for what you needed to hear of those that you were going to come, of those people that are coming to the conference. This is probably the, I'm going to say, 10th, 15th face-to-face that Gary Carpenter had in 1998. It's on his website. It is there in audio form. It is there in print. And we do not have it on Dave Roberson's website yet. Most likely we'll put it there, but the only place that you can get it is Gary Carpenter. Okay, at the present time. And in 1998, Gary did what he calls a 10-year perspective on the face-to-face. He did it by request. He did it because the Lord was saying, I'd like you to do it. So also out there on the website is there is 4 one-hour audio files in regards to the works of the Father. You can download them and you can hear them. In addition to that, there is a document out there that is called Agreeing with the Mind of Christ, and that document that you have here. He also read that, and he also spoke about it. So we'll begin, and we probably won't get past page 3. The works of the Father. For you to enter the Lamb's room of fellowship, I must bring you the mindset of Christ in 2 stages, says the Spirit of grace. Stop. How many of you ever heard about the Lamb's Room of Fellowship? Very few. That's what I thought. The Lamb's Room of Fellowship, this is my definition. The Lamb's Room of Fellowship is Jesus himself. The Lamb's Room of Fellowship is a place that he takes us, or that you're able to go into, that is all him. There is more than one room in the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. He chose to call it the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. He used the word fellowship. The Lamb's Room of Fellowship, I don't know how many rooms that it has, but I can tell you one of the rooms that it has is a room of silence that is deafening. You're in his presence. I'm not establishing a new doctrine, incidentally, but it's a lever of fellowship with him that you do not want to speak. You really don't want to open your eyes. And the quietness and the security and comfort is beyond compare. It also has the throne room in it. And when you visit that throne room, there is no faith needed. It's you and him and the Father, and you're listening to his conversation with the Father, and he makes you believe and know that you're equal according to Ephesians, and you can speak things, and they happen. There's a room of love. It's a Lamb's Room of Fellowship. It's available. And he says the way you unlock the door, it's really not locked. The way you open the door is what we're going to begin to discuss. He says, for you to be able to go into this room, I need to give you the mindset of Jesus in two steps. One, Jesus of Nazareth. And it's right here. Let's read it so you can underline it. For you to enter the Lamb's room of fellowship, I must bring you the mindset of Christ in two stages, says the Spirit of Grace. I will first speak of the mindset of Jesus of Nazareth during the days of his earthly ministry in the flesh. Then I shall speak to you of the mindset of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all, as he is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. Now he begins to explain the mindset of Jesus of Nazareth. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, I and my Father are one. If you want to write down John 10:30, I have no life apart from the life of the Father within me. My meat is to do the will of my Father. You can write down John 4:34. There's not a statement in here that you cannot find in here. All the Holy Spirit has done has pulled it out for us and put it into a document when he gave it to Gary Carpenter and saying, I want to draw your attention to how you enter into the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. I must be about my Father's business. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own apart from my Father's will who sent me. I and my Father are one. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, I am born of my Father. I am born from above. I am born of the Spirit of my Father. I and my Father are one. The life that I live by the life of the Father within me. I have life within myself. My Father has anointed my life with his own Spirit. My Father's Spirit is in me and upon me to manifest my Father's will. Nothing is impossible to my Father. All things are possible by his Spirit. My Father has sent me into his garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from my Father and power by his Spirit to restore all the damage that this enemy has done and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that all things be restored to his original intent and purpose. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned himself to be a vessel for his Father's life. He reckoned himself to be a vessel for his Father's will. He reckoned himself to be a vessel for his Father's dominion. He reckoned himself to be a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Spirit of the Father to restore all things to the Father's will. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned himself to be the vessel of the Father's authority, the vessels of the Father's will, purpose, and authority. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned the Holy Spirit to be the agent of the Father's power, with whom he was to co-labor on the earth. Jesus of Nazareth understood his Father was in heaven. Thus you see him looking into heaven when he would bless. He understood that both he and the Holy Spirit were co-laborers upon the earth, together to bring the Father's will from heaven to earth, to restore all things to the original intent and purpose of the Father. Jesus of Nazareth saw no division between himself and the Holy Spirit. He reckoned himself and the Holy Spirit to be co-laborers working together to restore the Father's will. Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it unthinkable to attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit with him. Let me stop and talk about the word ministry that you'll hear through this. Ministry. Ministry is anything you do for the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do all unto him. Ministry is not someone that has a mic in their hand. Ministry was us picking up that boy and getting gas for him. Ministry, and this may be cute to you, but ministry is me being able to pick up a cup of Starbucks and bringing it to Dave so that he didn't have to go get his own Starbucks. You co-labor, if the Holy Spirit is as close to you as your next breath, you co-labor with him every moment of your entire life. And if whatsoever you're doing in word or deed, you're doing unto him, that's ministry. When the Lord Jesus went and sat on the well and only had 3 years to minister and spent a whole day with one woman who had had five husbands and was living in error at the time, that was ministry. I'll guarantee you none of his disciples thought that that was ministry. She wasn't a Jew, you know. You know, and then when they come back and they say, "Aren't you hungry?" He says, "I got food to eat that you don't know nothing." I mean, he didn't say nothing about it. He was nicer than that, right? "I've had food already because I just did the will of my Father," and that was ministry. Everything that you do is ministry. If you're living your life for him and he's told you to do it. He didn't have to tell you this morning to do it. You have it resident in you, many of the things that you're doing. Think about the things that you're doing. The enemy would like to tell you that the majority of that is not ministry. And the majority of it is. When Bernard is developing the future of the internet in a room, early in the morning, late at night, etc., hasn't talked to anybody, that's ministry. He can read more in a day than I read in a year. And you know what? He only sends me what I need to read. He only sends me what I need to read. I've never received an email from him. I wish he wasn't here, but he doesn't get a big head anyway. So I've never received an email from Bernard that did not have value. And not only did it not have value, it was exactly what I needed for either today or the near future. So he's prophesied to me more than the majority of people that I know, because he's read something and somehow the inner witness has told him, "Tim needs to read this." I didn't need to read 50 of them. I just needed to read this one. Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it unthinkable to attempt ministry without co-laboring of the Holy Spirit with him. His mindset was, "There is no ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father." Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it laughable to think that the fallen order of the material realm could be restored to the will of the Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. This would have been us unthinkable, a thought to him, as for a natural man to think he could birth a baby without a woman. It was unthinkable to Jesus of Nazareth that the Father's Spirit would not move to perform the Father's will. He would first hear the instructions of the Father by the Spirit. Then he fully expected the Father's Spirit to perform the Father's will as he followed those instructions. In his mind, what could be more simple? The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, he felt no obligation nor any compulsion to do anything apart from the instructions he received from his Father by the Spirit. For this reason, he said, the Son does nothing of himself. I do what I see my Father doing. I say what I hear my Father saying. He understood that he was on the earth to do the will of the Father. He also understood that he was not on the earth to do his own will in the name of the Father. There's a vast difference between those two thoughts. In other words, he had full liberty, full freedom, full knowledge to leave and let the crowd come with all their sick, because the Father said, I have some place for you to go today and a synagogue for you to preach in, and you do what I say, and I'll take care of the rest. When he spoke to his disciples, he said, without me you can do nothing. He would have said of himself, without the Father I can do nothing. For this reason, he said, the Son does nothing of himself. What he sees the Father doing, the Son also does it likewise. That's John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. This thinking freed him from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. He felt no obligation to do work in the name of his Father. No, his work was more direct than that. He was literally the one through whom the Father worked. It was not his works in the name of the Father. It was the Father working through him. He was free to simply receive the Father's mind by the Spirit and then do what he saw and say what he heard. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, he felt no obligation nor any compulsion to venture forth into ministry until he had received the will, the plan, the mind, the counsel of his Father in completeness by the Spirit. Stop. Most important thing is in completeness. You can get his will. Well, let me read it again. You can get his plan, you can get his will, you can get his plan, you can get his mind, and you can get his counsel, and run off to Africa and come back 6 months and say, why did I fail? Because you didn't get it in completeness. Sit, listen, and hearken. Wait on the Lord. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Fast. When he ventured forth to minister, he considered not himself to be a worker for his Father. Rather, he considered himself to be a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Father's Spirit. There's a vast difference between these two mindsets. Now, I will speak to you concerning the mindset of Christ Jesus, who is the Lord of all, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. We're seated there with him. Your spirit is seated there with him. Jesus Christ understands that his is the only life which has proceeded from the Father, upon whom dominion may be exercised by the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ is the only life which has proceeded from the Father, upon whom the Holy Spirit will enforce dominion. Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of power, Father, of power, has shared his life with all called upon his name. All who's called upon his name, not a few. Not a special group. All. Every one of us. They have partaken of the life of his own spirit. Their spirit has been quickened with the life of Christ. For this reason, the Father's Spirit may exercise dominion upon their spirit as their heart, their will, and their mind is conformed to the mind of Christ. Christ Jesus understands that every believer is an agent of authority upon the earth, through whom the will of the Father may work in the earth through the life of Christ that is in them by the dominion of the Holy Spirit upon them. Christ Jesus understands that every believer has been sent forth just as he was sent forth from the Father. Every believer is a vessel through whom the Father can work by the life of Christ within them and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them. Christ Jesus the Lord expects perfect communication be available at all times between the believers on the earth and himself in heaven by the agency of the Comforter who he has sent. Christ Jesus the Lord, who is exalted to sit at the right hand of the Majesty, is in perfect, instant, constant communication with the Father at all times. The Father will for every situation is made known unto him. He expects every believer to receive their instructions from himself by fellowship with the Comforter, whom he has sent to be with all believers forever. It is unthinkable to Christ Jesus that the Holy Spirit would not bring perfect communication from his mind to every believer. There is no possibility that the Spirit of Truth would deliver anything but truth directly from the mind of Christ to reveal the will of the Father in every situation. We're going to go to 9. As we go through this next part, and what you're hearing, what you're requested to do, is trying to move us a step closer to getting the truth in us. It incorporates all of the principles, all of the 6 principles, except possibly fasting. But if we do the other 5, fasting will come automatically and it'll be a piece of cake. I'm going to have you listen now to Gary Carpenter reading pages 9, 10, and 11. In addition to that, we're going to have a CD for you, and it will have on it 4 different, I'll call them songs, but 4 different teachings. One is Gary reading the works of the Father. The other one is the agreeing with the mind of Christ with the instructions, which is what you're going to hear tonight. And then the next one was going to be agreeing with the mind of Christ without the instructions. And the 4th one is what we've chose to call agreeing with the mind of Christ, echo. I can envision that when you take this home and embrace this and do homework, that you'll probably download it on your computer, and the one that you want to listen to in your car to begin with will probably be the agreeing with mind of Christ without instructions, because Gary gives the instructions of why he did it, how he did it, for about 4 minutes. And that you'll know by heart after you've heard it 3 or 4 times, and you'll want to fast forward. So we developed one without the instructions so that you could put it and you could just listen to it. The one that is agreeing with the mind of Christ, echo, is designed for you to continually confess agreeing with the mind of Christ. We have here at the Prayer Center a service that we call Calling in the Lost. And Gary's been doing it now for 14 years, 15 years. And we have a list of confessions. And Gary would stand up here, and he teaches for about a half an hour on Sunday evening, if you happen to be here next Sunday. And then we go through the confessions. One of them is, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. So Gary says, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And then everybody that's present says, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. We've taken agreeing with the mind of Christ, and we've allowed a space after each statement for you to be able to say that statement and actually say it with your mouth instead of just listening. Okay. All right. Why don't we just listen to Gary? You have it in front of you. And listen as he talks.
What I'm doing in this next segment is I am reading aloud this document that's based on the works of the Father, but I call this one F980902B, agreeing with the mind of Christ. The more my mind agrees with the mind of Christ, the easier it will be for me to receive and follow His instructions, even though they may seem bizarre to the natural man. I will also be more able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to cause the will of the Father to be made manifest in the earth. These confessions are intended to bring my mind into conformity with His mind in two stages. First, as His mind was when He ministered on the earth in the flesh. And second, as His mind is now that He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Number one, I agree with Jesus of Nazareth. I and my Father are one. Christ is my life. I am born of the Spirit of Christ. I have no life apart from the life of Christ within me. My meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own apart from my Father's will who sent me. I and my Father are one. I am born of my Father. I am born from above. I am born of the Spirit of my Father. I and my Father are one. The life of Christ is in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Christ Himself. I have life within myself. My Father has anointed that life with His own Spirit. The life of Christ is in me. The Father's Spirit has anointed that life with dominion. My Father's Spirit is in me and upon me to manifest my Father's will. Nothing is impossible to my Father, and all things are possible by His Spirit. My Father has sent me into His garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from Christ, who is Lord of all, and the power of my Father's Spirit to restore all the damage this enemy has done, and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. I must be about my Father's business. I have been sent in the name of Jesus that all things be restored to my Father's original intent and purpose for man. I am a vessel for the life of Christ. I am a vessel for my Father's will. I am a vessel for my Father's dominion. I am a vessel through whom the Father works by the life of Christ within me and by the Holy Spirit's power upon me. I am a vessel through whom the Father works to restore all things to His will. I am a vessel of Christ's authority. I am Christ's agent of authority on the earth. The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power, with whom I am to co-labor on the earth. The Holy Spirit and I co-labor to bring the will of the Father from heaven to earth. We work together in order that all things be restored to the original intent and purpose of the Father. There is no division between me and the Holy Spirit. We are unified in purpose and motivations regarding all things. I never attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father. The fallen natural realm cannot be restored to the will of the Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. It is unthinkable to me that my Father's Spirit will not work in order to restore the Father's will in the earth. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and I obey those instructions, and the Holy Spirit performs the will of the Father every time, without exception. What could be more simple? I do nothing of myself. I am under no obligation nor any compulsion to do anything except what I receive from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit each day. I understand that I am on the earth to do the will of my Father in the name of Jesus. I also understand that I am not on the earth to do my own will, cloaked and veiled in the name of Jesus. And there is a vast difference. I am free from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. I am not under obligation to do work in the name of Jesus Christ. He has not called me to minister to the people myself. He has called me to be the vessel through whom He can minister to the people Himself. I am a vessel through whom the Father works by the life of Christ within me, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. My Father fills my vessel with Himself in order that He may extend His hand to touch the people by the Holy Spirit, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. I am free to serve Christ alone every day. I am under no obligation nor under any compulsion to venture forth unto ministry until I have received the will, the plan, the mind, and the counsel of Jesus Christ in completeness by the Holy Spirit. I am not a worker for my Father. I am a vessel through whom my Father can work by the power of His own Spirit. And there is a vast difference between those two mindsets. Second portion. I agree with Christ Jesus in heaven. The life of Christ is the only life which has proceeded from the Father, upon whom the Holy Spirit will enforce dominion. Christ has shared His life with me. I have been quickened with His life. The Holy Spirit executes dominion upon my spirit, as my heart, my mind, and my will is conformed to that of Jesus Christ. Christ has sent me into the world in the same manner that He was sent into the world by the Father. I have the life of God within me, clothed in mortal flesh, yet that life within me is anointed with the Holy Spirit Himself. I have perfect communication at all times with my Lord Jesus Christ in heaven by the agency of the Comforter who lives with me. My Lord Jesus Christ knows the Father's will for every situation. The Comforter brings me instructions from the mind of Christ Himself. It is unthinkable to me that the Holy Spirit would not bring me information from the mind of Christ for every circumstance. My Lord is pleased when I sit at the feet of the Comforter to receive instruction and counsel from the mind of Christ. The Comforter even shows me things to come in order that nothing takes me by surprise. I do not allow anything to sever my fellowship and communion with the Comforter. It is never in the mind of Christ that I suffer defeat at the hand of the enemy. There is no possibility that the counsel I receive from Him would not result in victory every single time. It is my Father's will to restore all things to His original intent and purpose for man. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ, which is the will of the Father, by the Spirit of the Father, in order that I may go forth to dress and to keep my Father's garden. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. All glory goes to Him and to Him alone. He will not share His glory with another. Yet Christ is the seed sown in my heart, and He intends for me to mature into the same image that was planted within me. He intends that the works that He did, I do also, and even greater works I shall do because He is with the Father. He fully intends that His same level of ministry be multiplied many times over in the lives of believers all over the world. Christ is the mark, the pattern, the original that I am to strive toward. I never substitute the work of man for the work of the Father. Only by the working of the Father, by the Spirit, through the life of Christ in me, can the fallen material realm be truly restored to the will of the Father in heaven. Lord, I understand this work is of you and not of man.
The next exercise is 19 minutes, 20 minutes. We have a saying around here, or maybe we have a practice, you know, about simulating a book. Read 1 John 30 times, you know, etc. I can tell you what will happen. I can tell you the beginning of what will happen if you do this. Your whole thinking process will change and begin to become the mind of Christ. All of the pressure from the enemy for you to do things instead of become someone will start fading away. If you stop doing it, and I'm not looking at anybody, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'm confident that Holy Spirit will bring you right back here. When we begin to have a minimum of 1,000 being born again from one location of the prayer center, which is one of our confessions, this document and the teaching in this document and the practicing of this document and fathers who will help children grow up will be used for them to grow up so much quicker. There is none of you that are excluded from what's said here. We've already talked about ministry. He says every single circumstance. Think of a circumstance that you have in your life, and he's telling you that he's a helper, and he's telling you that he's available to give you that answer. And don't tell me that you don't hear the voice of the Lord. You do. Ask him. He loves for you to ask questions. I was driving out the driveway with a friend some time ago. I got to the end of the driveway and I said out loud by mistake, "Which way do you want me to go?" And he said, "What'd you say?" I was talking to the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a brain. I know when to take a bath. I know when to get my hair cut. I know how to put my clothes on. But if I go in the closet in the morning and say, "Holy Spirit, is there something you'd like me to wear special?" If I don't hear anything, I get to choose. But I'll tell you, if you ask him and get in the habit of asking him, it doesn't take any time. You are redeeming the time. And me say, "Why don't you do this?" The number of times that you call someone and they're not home or their phone's busy, etc. When he tells you to call someone, I'll guarantee you won't get a busy sign. Because he wants to be that involved with you in every circumstance. I need to read this one to you where I stopped. Listen carefully. If the greatest, page number six, if the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this: "Oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as he brings my mind to them. For his mind is the will of the Father. His mind is made fully known unto the Spirit of truth. The Comforter will take of his and show all things unto his brethren, if they will sit, listen, and hearken as the Spirit brings the voice of him who speaks from heaven to the earth." Then he goes on and talks about the enemy. I hear you saying, you know, "What about the enemy?" And in essence he says, you know, you don't have to be concerned about the enemy. His only valid victory is to remove you from not being able to hear the Holy Spirit, your comforter, your teacher, etc. He recently said, "Everything that the enemy has planned is like a drop in the ocean, and I'm the ocean. I'm the ocean, and it's like a drop in the ocean. Okay, we're going to play the next one. The next one is this. It has spaces after every statement that we felt as though there should be a statement that you're able to meditate or say the same thing that was just said. If you do this, you should never stop doing it, but if you do this a significant number of times, you're going to end up stopping when it comes to the silent point, because you're not going to be able to say everything you want to say when you say, "My Father and I are one." Right now, you're just going to say, "My Father and I are one." You talk about entering into praise and entering into worship. When your mind begins to fully understand, not really fully because we only know in part, when it begins to understand that you and your Father are one, you will say, "Stop. I mean, you're going too fast because I have so much more praise. I have so much more that I want to tell you. I'm so thankful," etc. But to begin with, you know, you may just say, "My Father and I are one." He'll take anything you give him, as we've said. Take anything. The CD that you're going to get, incidentally, is tracked for this portion of it, because there's a portion of it that comes that the Holy Spirit will just touch you. And there's, let me read one. "I have no life apart from the life of Christ within me." When that hit me, the rest of the day, that's all I wanted to hear. And so I pulled the track out, and that's all I listened to the rest of the day, because all of the rest of it was God, all of the rest of it was good, all the rest of it was Him. But the Holy Spirit was dealing with me that I had no life apart. So why don't we play it, and when we're done, I may say something, or you can just consider yourself dismissed, and take one CD per family again, and then if we have extra, you're welcome to duplicate them, as I said, then we'll have some extras back there. So.
"I agree with Jesus of Nazareth. I and my Father are one. Christ is my life. I am born of the Spirit of Christ. I have no life apart from the life of Christ within me. My meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own apart from my Father's will who sent me. I and my Father are one. I am born of my Father. I am born from above. I am born of the Spirit of my Father. I and my Father are one. The life of Christ is in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Christ Himself. I have life within myself. My Father has anointed that life with His own Spirit. The life of Christ is in me. The Father Spirit has anointed that life with dominion. My Father's Spirit is in me and upon me to manifest my Father's will. nothing is impossible to my Father. All things are possible by His Spirit. My Father has sent me into His garden to dress it and keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from Christ, who is Lord of all, and the power of my Father's Spirit to restore all the damage this enemy has done, and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. I must be about my Father's business. I have been sent in the name of Jesus, that all things be restored to my Father's original intent and purpose for man. I am a vessel for the life of Christ. I am a vessel for my Father's will. I am a vessel for my Father's dominion. I am a vessel through whom the Father works, by the life of Christ within me, and by the Holy Spirit's power upon me. I am a vessel through whom the Father works to restore all things to His will. I am a vessel of Christ's authority. I am Christ's agent of authority on the earth. The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power, with whom I am to co-labor on the earth. The Holy Spirit and I co-labor to bring the will of the Father from heaven to earth. We work together in order that all things be restored to the original intent and purpose of the Father. There is no division between me and the Holy Spirit. We are unified in purpose and motivations regarding all things. I never attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father. The fallen natural realm cannot be restored to the will of the Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. It is unthinkable to me that my Father's Spirit will not work in order to restore the Father's will in the earth. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit. I obey those instructions, and the Holy Spirit performs the will of the Father every time. Without exception. What could be more simple? I do nothing of myself. I am under no obligation, nor under any compulsion, to do anything except what I receive from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit each day. I understand that I am on the earth to do the will of my Father in the name of Jesus. I also understand that I am not on the earth to do my own will, cloaked and veiled in the name of Jesus. There is a vast difference. I am free from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. I am not under obligation to do work in the name of Jesus Christ. He has not called me to minister to the people myself. He has called me to be the vessel through whom he can minister to the people himself. I am a vessel through whom the Father works, by the life of Christ within me, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. My Father fills my vessel with himself, in order that he may extend his hand to touch the people by the Holy Spirit, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. I am free to serve Christ alone every day. I am under no obligation, nor under any compulsion, to venture forth unto ministry until I have received the will, the plan, the mind, and the counsel of Jesus Christ in completeness by the Holy Spirit. I am not a worker for my Father. I am a vessel through whom my Father can work by the power of his own Spirit. There is a vast difference between those two mindsets. I agree with Christ Jesus in heaven. The life of Christ is the only life which has proceeded from the Father, upon whom the Holy Spirit will enforce dominion. Christ has shared his life with me. I have been quickened with his life. The Holy Spirit executes dominion upon my spirit, as my heart, my mind, and my will is conformed to that of Jesus Christ. Christ has sent me into the world in the same manner that he was sent into the world by the Father. I had the life of God within me, clothed in mortal flesh, yet that life within me is anointed with the Holy Spirit himself. I have perfect communication at all times with my Lord Jesus Christ in heaven by the agency of the Comforter who lives with me. My Lord Jesus Christ knows the Father's will for every situation. The Comforter brings me instructions from the mind of Christ Himself. It is unthinkable to me that the Holy Spirit would not bring me information from the mind of Christ for every circumstance. My Lord is pleased when I sit at the feet of the Comforter to receive instruction and counsel from the mind of Christ. The Comforter even shows me things to come in order that nothing takes me by surprise. I do not allow anything to sever my fellowship and communion with the Comforter. It is never in the mind of Christ that I suffered defeat at the hand of the enemy. There is no possibility that the counsel I receive from him would not result in victory every single time. It is my Father's will to restore all things to his original intent and purpose for man. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ, which is the will of the Father, by the Spirit of the Father, in order that I may go forth to dress and to keep my Father's garden. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. All glory goes to Him and Him alone. He will not share His glory with another, yet Christ is the seed sown in my heart. He intends for me to mature into the same image that was planted within me. He intends that the works that he did, I do also, and even greater works I shall do because he is with the Father. He fully intends that his same level of ministry be multiplied many times over in the lives of believers all over the world. Christ is the mark, the pattern, the original that I am to strive toward. I never substitute the work of man for the work of the Father. Only by the working of the Father, by the Spirit, through the life of Christ in me, can the fallen material realm be truly restored to the will of the Father in heaven. Lord, I understand this work is of you and not of man.
Pretty good, huh? I've got three things that you can write down and then we go. I would highly suggest that if there's any statement in these three pages that you don't agree with, or that you don't understand, or that you challenge, I would first of all take those and I'd look up scriptures, because the word will verify itself. Then I'd take everything that you agree with and I'd look up scriptures for those too. That's homework. I'm not going to give you my copy. Second thing I would do, a little more difficult, but it's pressing towards the mark. I would take every personal word that you've been given for your own life, and I would do exactly the same thing. I wouldn't stop with this, because what he said to you is important, is what he's saying here. I'd really become serious. Third thing is, the Lord said several times now that 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more important than spending 4 years on mindless confessions. Don't allow this to turn into mindless confessions. I would take every statement and have a vision. I and my Father are one. What hope jumps up in the inside of you when you say that? What praise? 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more important than 4 years of mindless confessions. And fourth, every one of these statements is a confession. And until that confession turns into a statement of dominion, it is not in you. You only know it. It cannot stay in the realm of just a confession. I and my Father are one. Do you hear that, devil? The whole image that develops on the inside of you, that you and your Father are one, you all of a sudden, nothing is impossible. I can do all things. And devil, go back to hell, or really to the pit, and stay there. Every statement needs to become a statement of authority, really a statement of dominion, because you have the Holy Spirit in every one of these statements waiting for your authority to be released so he can become a co-laborer and add his power to it, and it's a done deal for every circumstance. For every circumstance. You're dismissed. Blessings.